I invite you to join with me in Luke chapter 24 this morning. If you have your sermon notes, invite you to pull those out, as well as if you'd want to use the app that's available to you as well. I've seen some already kind of had their Bibles out and the notes out, and they're doing fill in the blank. I think it's a competition to see what kind of percentage, like your brackets are for March Madness, so which I hope are doing better than mine at the end of this weekend. Well, last weekend, we celebrated Palm Sunday with all that that meant, with all the fun, with all the prestige, all the celebration. We talked about what that looked like as Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But a lot happened between then and the following week. Between what we call Palm Sunday and what we call and recognize as Easter, a week that overall is referred to as the Holy Week. On Monday and Tuesday, the conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders escalates. On Wednesday, Judas meets with the religious leaders and arranges for Jesus' betrayal. On Thursday, Jesus meets with his disciples in the upper room for the Last Supper. Later that night, he is arrested while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Early Friday morning, Jesus was tried before Pilate and is sentenced to death. By Friday evening, he is crucified, dead, and buried. So much happens in the course of 7 days. So on Good Friday, right after Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea receives permission to bury Jesus' body in his tomb that he had bought for himself. And it says that the women who had been part of Jesus' ministry for all of his ministry, they had attended throughout part. They had been donors and suppliers and caretakers and all this stuff. They followed Joseph to the tomb and see where Jesus is buried as well as how he is buried. And then they and the other disciples rest on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment regarding the Sabbath. Now, imagine in the midst of that waiting, the shock that the disciples are going through, the events of Thursday and Friday have taken place. They're kind of freaked out. They're mourning Jesus' death. It's the death of their Lord, the death of their friend. The women, And they are all hiding in fear for their lives. Even though Jesus, while on the way to Jerusalem, had told them, he had warned them, he had specifically said what was going to happen. He says, hey, just be prepared. This is a road to suffering. This is a road that is not easy, and it ultimately will end at the cross. Somehow, they just didn't get it. They had images and understandings in their own mind of what Jesus was and who he was and what he was going to do. They refused to believe it. And yet, it's Sunday now. And everything is about to change. And Luke tells us that it was early in the morning. And the women made their way to the tomb while everybody else still hid. And these women had followed Jesus and they'd supported his ministry from the beginning. And they'd been there to hear his teaching. They'd seen his miracles that he had performed. They knew their ministry wasn't done today. There was something more important than just sleeping in on a Sunday morning. And so they got up, They took the spices that they had prepared out of love and respect for their crucified Lord and went to the tomb that morning to anoint his body in the grave. In other words, they went fully expecting to find Jesus dead and buried in the tomb. Instead, it says in verses 2 and 3 that they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of their Lord Jesus. You know, they were looking among the dead, and they did not find him. Instead, it says that he was alive. Now, many people are still looking for Jesus among the dead. I recognize that. There are scholars who study the scrolls and the words of Jesus and the gospel manuscripts, but they don't fully believe in the resurrection. There are archaeologists who, after 2,000 years, are still searching for the bones of Jesus in the tomb, and yet they keep coming up empty. These people have one thing in common. They are looking for Jesus among the dead. But if you want to find Jesus, if you are looking for Jesus among the dead, you will not find him. Because he is not there. And if you go looking for him there, you will not find him any of those different places. If you want to find Jesus this morning, you can't go looking among the dead. You must look among the living. And that brings us the good news of Easter. Verses 4 and 5. It says, while the women were wondering about this, they are perplexed, another word is used. They're trying to figure out what to do now. It says, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Clearly, these are not just two ordinary men. They appeared out of nowhere. Their clothes are shining like lightning. And they are messengers sent from God with their clothing still burning bright from the glory of heaven. And in their fright, the women did what we would all do. They got down on their hands and knees and put their face to the ground. The angels asked the women, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not there. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. And it says in verse 8, then they remembered his words. So while they're still taking all of this in, they're wondering about it all, they encounter these messengers from God, are reminded that Jesus had said what was going to happen. He's told his followers over and over what's going to happen when they get to Jerusalem. He told them he would suffer. He told them he would be crucified. He told them on the third day that he would rise for the dead. So Jesus' arrest shouldn't have been a surprise. Jesus' crucifixion and death shouldn't have been a surprise. And even his resurrection shouldn't have been a surprise. Jesus had told them all of these things in advance. And yet somehow the meaning of all of these things escaped them until they remembered. This is a message for us as well. We need to remember the good news of Easter. Each and every day, we need to remember the good news of Easter, that Jesus Christ has conquered sin, he's conquered death, he's conquered the grave. He rose from the dead early on Easter morning. He is alive and well today. He did not raise up like some had done, like Lazarus just before him, and then died again. He never died again. He is still living. He is alive and well today. You will not find him among the dead. And he offers new life to all of us. In fact, Scripture tells us that those who put their trust in Christ will share in his very resurrection. The fear of death and judgment is taken away. That's good news for all of us. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And so only one question remains for us this morning. How will you respond? How will you respond to the news? And we find different responses within our passage this morning. The first response that we find is the of the women. It says, and it's to believe and to share. We look in verses 9 and 10. The women come back from the tomb. They told all these things to the apostles and everyone with them. Now, they must have been frightened. We admit that. We understand that. They were probably still confused a little bit. We understand that. They didn't fully understand everything that had happened. They're still processing. We totally understand that. And yet, there's one thing they knew they could do and that they had to do is they shared what they knew. They knew that they could share that Jesus' body was no longer in the grave. They understand that they could share the news that the angels had said he has been risen. And the women believed, and they shared that with those that they went to. If you're a believer in Jesus' resurrection this morning, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you need to share your faith with others. Just like the women at Jesus' tomb. Yes, Jesus died, but he rose again. He is alive, and that's good news worth sharing. Don't keep the good news of Easter to yourself. That would be selfish. There's no better way to respond to the good news of Easter than to share it with those around us. And that should be, that's our first response that we find this morning, to believe and share. But secondly, we find the response of the apostles. Remember, these are the people that have followed Jesus for 3 years. They've slept next to him. They've walked and talked with him. They've watched him feed the 5,000. They've watched him raise Lazarus from the dead. They've watched him over and over and learned from them. And yet, what's their response? The women's response was to believe and to share, and they do just that. The response of the disciples, though, at least initially, was don't believe and do nothing. Verse 11, they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. The women believed the good news of Easter, and so they shared. The apostles didn't believe it. And they did nothing. Now, I'm happy to report that the apostles did change their mind. But their initial response mirrors the response of so many today. They don't quite believe in all this Jesus stuff. Seems so much nonsense to them. And so they do nothing. They dismiss the story outright. And they continue to live their lives as though nothing happened that first Easter morning. And at first, it seems like there are only those two options. That we can either just believe that Jesus rose from the dead or not believe. It seems like those would be our only two options. But as we look at the passage, we do find another option. If you're like a lot of people and you're not quite sure what to make of it, what do you do with this news of Jesus' resurrection? Because we've seen people pass away. We haven't seen people risen. How do we process that in the midst of all the science of our world and all the different things? Well, there's a third option that you can take. rather than just simply rejecting it. You can do what Peter did. You can check it out for yourself. Verse 12, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. So Peter is in the midst of the group. Remember, he's already hidden himself in shame because he had denied Christ. He had tried to make Christ even before that in who he wanted him to be. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter's got all this stuff going on in his head, and it would be easy for him just to say, "It's over, I'm done, I'll go back to fishing. I hear they're biting." But Peter doesn't. He doesn't sit there and just mourn what was or what could have been. Peter gets up and runs to the tomb. He examines the evidence. He saw that the stone has been rolled away. He enters the empty tomb and he sees the linen folded there that once contained the body of Jesus. And Jesus is not there. And it says that he went away wondering to himself. He's trying to process all this information that has, he knew what Jesus had said, but yet it seems too good to be true. It seems too big to be true. And he's wondering what's going on. And what we find is that eventually he did find him. He wasn't lying dead in a tomb. He was fully resurrected, fully alive. In verse 33, and we find a reference to it in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Jesus appeared to Peter before he got back to the disciples. So at some point, after Peter leaves the tomb, while he's on his way back, trying to process all that's going on, he's overwhelmed, he's wondering, he's perplexed, he's trying to add, it just doesn't make sense because that doesn't happen, but yet it has happened, and he's trying to figure out, he wasn't quite ready to fully believe yet, and yet he was on his way back, and he hadn't dismissed it as nonsense, but he hadn't fully been into it yet, and what does he do? He runs in. He checks it out for himself, and as he's wondering, he encounters Christ. Christ is alive. Jesus is alive. And you may say, "Well, that was Peter. It's all well and good to read that, but that's just a story. That was Peter. You know, he could run to the empty tomb. I can't do that. He could check the linens. I can't do that." And I'll say, "Yeah, you're right. But you can do what many others have done since. And you can check it out for yourself." There are countless stories of people who didn't believe. They were fully pledged atheists, ready to, "I'm going to prove this story wrong." And when they investigated it for themselves, when they truly checked it out for themselves, all they could come back is saying, "He is alive and well." Jesus is alive. The stories that were told are true. And I recognize that to believe in the resurrection of Jesus takes a lot of faith and it takes courage in our world today. But it's more than just saying yes to the claim that was made by the women and eventually the disciples, the apostles in the Easter story. It's at the same time saying no to the power and death and destruction that surrounds us. And in place of the bad news we hear and the bad experiences we have, we are making a claim that there is a sustaining power in God Himself who brings out life out of death and reconciliation out of conflict. Because if you get nothing else, you get this today. Death does not get the final word. Jesus does. Death does not get the last word. Jesus does. There has been marvelous testimony through the ages to this. We begin with the earliest witnesses of Easter, and we commit ourselves to their claim, and it opens a door to new life for ourselves, for acts of love and reconciliation within our world, because we understand death does not get the final word. The love of Christ does. So this morning, if you're not ready quite yet to believe, don't dismiss it all as nonsense. I implore you, and I will tell you, you owe it to yourself at least to investigate it. Be like Peter and check it out for yourself. We have these three options this morning, and they're all asked the same question that we are asked. Why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, we can believe and we can share. We can refuse to believe and do nothing. And we can check it out for ourselves. Let me say to you again, if you're looking for Jesus among the dead, you'll never find him there. He is not there. But if you look for Jesus among the living, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will find him. And you will be saved. And the word says you will be set free to truly experience life to the full. Life to the max. You will find a wholeness that can't be explained any other way. It only comes through the resurrected Christ. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I invite you this morning. I invite you to join us in a special way, to meet us here. We celebrate you, Lord. I also recognize that there are some that are trying to figure out if this is nonsense or what to do with this information. And God, I just ask for you to meet with all of us. That we would encounter you in a special way. That we would recognize that you are alive and well. That you met with your disciples, and the testimonies are many. That you went to heaven but are not just there. You are with us through your Holy Spirit, but you are coming back to receive us unto yourself. And with that hope, we live. With that hope, we breathe. With that hope, we move ourselves toward you. God, meet with us today. And may we find you where you are, with the living. In your name we pray. Amen.